John 1, verse 49. Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." In Jesus' name, dear fellow students of Christ, Theodore sat somewhat discouraged. He was thinking about the state of the nation. He thought that nowadays you couldn't really know what was going on. It seemed that deceit was the rule of the day. Leaders often met secretly, made secret agreements, and decided how meetings would go before they were even held. The people who were supposed to be open and telling the news came out with conflicting reports depending on their viewpoint. Politics and corruption seemed to go hand in hand. Nor was it just in high places that guile and deceit were practiced. Theodore had noticed all around him people who were often putting up a front, wearing masks, concerned about the country, but basically self-centered and unwilling to make any sacrifices. Was it that way, he wondered, back in the early days, in the days of the forefathers of our nation? Nathanael, that's Hebrew for Theodore, might well have wondered these things as he thought about Jacob, a forefather of his nation. Jacob, yes, he had known all about guile and deceit too. Never the big husky farmer, Jacob had convinced himself that he had to live by his wits. He had outwitted his brother Esau into selling his birthright for a bowl of lentil soup. He had deceived his own father into giving him the blessing. Jacob was a master of deceit, and it had cost him too. He had run for his life when Esau found out that he got his blessing. No, Jacob's guile had not gotten him much security that night when he was on the run, with stones for a pillow, maybe so he wouldn't sleep too soundly. He lay down in the middle of a field. Who's going to sneak up on him there? Well, even there, God came to him in a dream and made some wonderful promises. While angels went up and down a ladder to heaven, God promised to be with Jacob and make of him a great nation, that through Jacob's seed all nations of the earth would be blessed. Jacob was overwhelmed by God's goodness. It took some time before he stopped his cunning habits, but it did happen. As he waited for that promised offspring through whom all nations would be blessed, for years later, when Jacob was returning home again, he did not try to deceive his brother, but openly sent messengers ahead to him. And while he was waiting for Esau's response, Jacob wrestled with an angel of God, asking for a blessing, openly this time, not with guile. That's when God changed Jacob's name to Israel, strong with God. And the whole nation became known as the children, not of guileful Jacob, but of Israel. Perhaps Nathanael was occupied with thoughts, something like that, with Bible in hand, so to speak, when Philip found him, saying, "The promised one of the Bible, the one Moses and the prophets wrote about, we have found him, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now that really seemed strange to Nathanael. Actually, a disappointment that the mighty promised Savior should be found in such a common background as the merchant town of Nazareth. Merchants were sometimes renowned for their guile too. It must have sounded to Nathanael something like it would to us if someone said, "I've found the man who's going to win the November election and solve all of this country's problems. He runs a used car lot in Iron Ridge, Wisconsin." "Can any good come from there?" Nathanael asked. Philip had learned his lesson well, and he used the same answer that Jesus had used earlier that day with John and Andrew. Come and see. So Nathanael came with Philip to see the man from Nazareth. And Jesus saw them coming and said, here is a true Israelite in whom is no guile. Nathanael immediately showed how open and honest he was. He didn't throw up his hands in false humility and say, oh, you don't mean me. He said, how did you know me? Jesus' answer floored him. I saw you under the fig tree. And suddenly Nathanael knew. He knew that Jesus knew him through and through. Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus says, you think this is something? You will see more than mind reading. You will see the promise to Jacob fulfilled, and the angels going up and down the ladder to heaven. You see the one in whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, does all that seem far away from us today? And yet you and I have paused in our school day and come here to see Jesus too, haven't we? Now, I can't see all the thoughts with which you came in that door this morning, or that door, but He can. Those times when we have thought about and been bothered by all the corruption, deceitfulness, cheating, and selfishness in the world, in our nation, and in ourselves, He has read our thoughts then, and by His atoning blood, He protects us from ourselves. By His presence, He protects us from all others. He says, you think this is something that I know your thoughts? Read mine. I have made you a child of Israel, a son of promise. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. We all know how Nathanael responded. Now it's time for us to respond. Let's rise and take hymn 130. We'll read stanzas 1 and 5 and sing stanza 6 for our closing prayer. O Jesus, King of glory, both David's Lord and Son, Thy realm endures forever. In heaven is fixed Thy throne. Help that in earth's dominions throughout from pole to pole Thy reign may spread salvation to each benighted soul. Ah, look on me with pity, though I am weak and poor. Admit me to Thy kingdom, to dwell there blessed and sure. I pray Thee, guide and keep me safe from my bitter foes, from sin and death and Satan, free me from all my woes.